All right, good morning. Today's daf is daf Lamed Hey and Zvachim. We are on Lamed Aleph and Beis, and we are at the top of the page. Kulan Shekiblu. We go back to the Mishnah, the first Mishnah, the third Perek, which we are going to finish up today. And the Mishnah told us that there are a number of things that could be, that you could have a do-over on. It's not a big deal. It's okay. The Mishnah, if you look at the top of Lamed Beis Amud Aleph, going all the way back, Kulon Shekiblu Adam Chutz Hazman Chutzim Kamim Yeshan in Dama Nefesh Yachzer Abbas V'Kabel. So look at first of all, these people, these psulim, these disqualified people, which the Mishnah gave us a list of. If they have a machshava, it doesn't matter because they're not fit to do Kabbalah Adam. They're not qualified, and whatever machshava they have, it's not going to affect the carbon lamala lamorid, not to go up, not to go down. And the Mishnah goes on to say that if there's more blood in the animal, so go back to the animal and get more blood. Okay? Kibbal Akasha, the Mishnah goes on to describe. No, okay, let's stop over there. Okay, let's pause over there in the Mishnah. Okay? So the Mishnah told us that for all these people, for them to have a machshava, you could just disregard it because they're not qualified. That's not true by the Shechita, right? Remember, by Shechita, anyone can do the Shechita, right? Any disqualified person who can't do the Avoda is entitled to do the Shechita. So by the Shechita, their Machshava is significant, and if they have a Machshava Spigel, if Chutz Hazmano, so then it would render the animal to be Mispagel. Good, that's by Shechita. After that point in time, from Kambala Ve'elech, their Machshava is just simply disregarded. V'kulon Shekiblu, Ba'mine Reish Lakshim Rav Yochanan. So the Gemara says, let's entertain the following question. Pasul Mao Shiyasu Shirayim. Good. So let's now imagine that we have a pasul, we have a disqualified person, right? A non-Kohen or a Kohen Balmum. We have a disqualified person who's doing the Avoda. He takes the blood, he receives the blood, and he sprinkles the blood on the Mizbeach. Okay. Right? And again, generally speaking, we say, fine, it's nothing. Question the Gemara wants to know is, is the rest of the blood considered shirayim? The rest of what blood? So look at Rashi over here. Rashi's interesting. Rashi is wouldn't have been the first pshat I would have said in the Gemara, but I'm not Rashi. Maushi yasu shirayim. Im kibo v'zarek maushi yachzer akasher v'kabo v'zrok v'kasher akarban. Okay? Question goes like this. We have this disqualified person who accepted the blood and he sprinkled the blood on the mizbeach. And now, question is, can the rest of the shirayim, the remaining bloods, can they be used? Mi amrin and kaven de zarak pasol shavi ledam shebet savar shirayim. And Rashi says, here's the question. Look, you had this guy who was not qualified, and he did a zrika. Do we say now that the rest of the blood, and Rashi writes, what blood are we talking about? We're going all the way back to the animal. The blood in the animal, is that considered shirayim? And if that's true, if the blood in the animal now is considered shirayim, you know what the story is. That's it. You're done. Shirayim cannot be sprinkled on the mizbech. They're called shirayim for a reason. Or no. Since he's not qualified, the terminology Rashi uses is lo alima zrikas pasol. It's not strong. It's not significant. It's not a legal act. In other words, it's really not much different than blood just spilling on the floor, which we've learned already. Blood spilled on the floor, go back to the animal. If there's more dam nefesh in the animal, so draw more blood from the animal. So good. So the question on the table now is like this. When he does a zrika, is that called a zrika? This pasul who does zrika. Lagabi, which halacha? The halacha of recalling all the other bloods, shirayim. This is the question that Reish Lakish asks of Rav Yochanan, and his answer is very clear. Amalei inosa shirayim. Elachutzas manav chutzim kamo. Ho meratza lipigula. Look, this whole concept of shirayim, you want to tell me that the remaining bloods is called shirayim? Rav Yochanan says that's so limited. We're rarely going to say that the remaining blood is called shirayim. I'll give you Rav Yochanan's response to Reish Lakish. Basically, the only time where you have a quote-unquote disqualified act and the remaining blood is going to be shirayim. You know what that is? Pigel. Or chutzim kamo. That's it. Meaning, if the blood was accepted, walked over, sprinkled onto the Mizbeach, with a machshava of chutzuzman or chutzimkomo, then the remaining blood is considered shirayim. And that's it. Meaning any other disqualified activity or an activity done by a disqualified person is simply not, that it's just not regarded. It has no legal significance, and we're not going to label the remaining blood shirayim blood. Why? Why? Rav Yochanan goes on to explain. Why is chutz zman and chutz mkamo so different? Because we know the very nature of chutz zman and chutz mkamo, is Torah tells us, is that the only way an animal, a carbon, can become pigol is only if all the other avodas are done correctly. So, built into pigol, chutz zman and chutz mkamo, is the concept that one thing was done incorrectly, and everything else was done correctly. So there and only there am I going to call a disqualified act an act. Otherwise, says Rav Yochanan, I never call it anything. It has no legal significance. So in your example that you gave, where you have a disqualified person doing the zrika on the Mizbeach, disregard it. It has no legal significance whatsoever, and we're not going to call the remaining blood shirayim. Good, and this is a, and the Gemara is pretty much going to stay on this rule of Rav Yochanan. The Gemara is going to go through a couple of different versions of how to present it to us, but essentially this is how we're going to conclude. Rav Zvid Masne Hache, Rav Zvid has a slightly different version. By Minei Reish Lakish, Rav Yochanan, Kos Pasul, Mal Shiyasi Shirayim. What if it's Kos Pasul? Rashi gives the example. Somebody collected the blood. Let's talk about qualified people, Kohanim. He accepted the blood and he walked outside the Azara. Okay, now we know, once you walk with the blood outside the Azara, that's a psul yotze. That's now disqualified. And now I take that blood and I sprinkle it on the Mizbeach. Good. What now becomes of the remaining blood? Is that shirayim? Is the remaining blood shirayim? Not just the remaining blood in the cup, that's a no-brainer. We're talking about the remaining blood in the animal. Is that considered shirayim? Amarle. So again, according to this version, the answer is pretty much going to be the same answer. Well, let's step away from your question for just a moment. You're asking about the blood being disqualified. What if the person doing the avoda was disqualified? Pasul gufe my savilach. How do you feel about that? E pasul mashve shirayim, kos pasul nami mashve shirayim. E pasul lo mashve shirayim, kos pasul nami lo mashve shirayim. Look, if the person's disqualified, are you going to say that the remaining blood is considered shirayim? If so, so then you can entertain your question. But if the disqualified person is not going to render the remaining blood shirayim, so then the disqualified blood is not going to render the remaining blood shirayim. Okay? Not a straight answer, not a direct answer, but basically the same point. A disqualified person or blood is just simply disregarded. It's not considered an act of zrika, of kabbalah. It's not. It's just not. And so consequently, all the other bloods are still eligible. Rav Yirmiyah Midifti, let me just get through this last version. Rav Yirmiyah Midifti Masni Hachi Ba Minei Abaye Mei Rabba. This question over here is, we're departing, we're leaving the Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish dialogue. We're going now from Abaye to Rabba. Kos Mao Shiasis Chaver Dichu Ishirayim. Okay, let's say you received it in two cups. It's not normal, meaning normally what happens is that after the shechting of the blood, you hold it one cup underneath the neck of the animal and you collect it in one cup. What if you receive it in two cups? So you have now two cups of dam nefesh and you sprinkle one of the bloods from one of the cups. What happens with the other cup? Does it make it dichui or shirayim? Is it now pushed off or is it considered shirayim? The difference would be... if it's shirayim, we know that the shirayim have to be poured onto the yisod ha-mizbech, onto the foundation of the mizbech. So maybe the blood in that second cup has to be poured onto the foundation of the mizbech. So amalei plukta derev lazer Rabbi Shimon v'rabbanan. This, in this version, in this question, so he says that's already a machlokus amongst the tanaim, the tanya. Lamala hu omer damo yishafech. Lamata hu omer ve'es kol dama yishafech. Somewhat of a discrepancy in Pesukim to discuss what to do with the remaining blood of the chatas. Granted that the Gemara here is quoting two Pesukim from two different chatases. One from the chatas of the nasi, and the other one from the regular chatas. But still though, one pasuk says es damo yishafech, and it says, and the other pasuk says kol dama yishafech. the blood and all of its blood. So minayin lechatzish kibal dama barma kosos v'nasa matana achas mizeh or matana achas mizeh shekul nishpach liyisod. So the Gemara says, let's imagine you do the following. You accept the blood in four different cups. Okay, now with a chatos we know that you have to sprinkle on four corners of the Mizbech. It's the only carbon where you actually have to go to the four different corners of the Mizbech and sprinkle on the four corners of the Mizbech. So let's imagine now, I don't know, Hidr Mitzvah, whatever reason, you accept the blood in four different cups and you sprinkle from each cup into one corner. The remaining bloods of all cups have to be poured on the Yisod, meaning the remaining blood is called Shirayim. What if I do like this? What if I sprinkle from one cup onto all four corners? So there we have the pasuk as damo. Only its blood, meaning only from the cup where I actually sprinkled from, that cup needs to be poured on the yisod. The other three don't have to be poured on the yisod. There's a canal running through the azara. You just pour it down the canal. Okay. Hakeitzad hu nishbach liyisod v'henishbach l'ama. So the Gemara says, exactly. So the one cup which you did the sprinkling from, that shirayim is poured down the yisod. The other three cups just get poured down the ama, down the canal. Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, Amar minan lechatzish kibal dama bar b'kos v'nasan dama tanos mikos echad shekula nishbach liyisod. So here you have the bar plukta, the other position, which says that all cups are poured down the yisod. Tamalomer v'skol dama yishafech. Fine. Period. Okay. So all the blood is considered shirayim, and so the question of Abayi Rabba, what do you say about the other cup? Is the other cup considered shirayim? Answer, it's a machlokas. Machlokas tanaim. Finally, the Gemara just wraps up this discussion. No, the pasuk that says es damo, only its blood, meaning what are we excluding? Blood from the neck of the animal. In other words, what you don't have to do is you don't have to go back to the animal, squeeze out the remaining blood in the animal, and pour that on the yisod. That's not necessary. That blood is not called shirayim. Okay, and that's what you do with the pasuk of Vezdamo Yishafech. Good. So we are on the question of what is shirayim, what isn't shirayim. So essentially, the first point that we made this morning is the Rav Yochanan point of any disqualified person or blood is simply not, it's not regarded. It is not, it's just not considered, and we don't call the other bloods shirayim. The only exception would be chutzim zman, chutzim kamo, as we already explained before. Good. And on the issue of collecting blood in multiple cups, and what is the status with the cups that I didn't use, are those cups considered shirayim? Machlokas tanayim. Let's move on. Kibal hakasha v'nasan lepasol. Okay. The Mishnah gave a number of cases. If you want to go back to the Mishnah and look again, Lamed Beis Amud Aleph, the top, where the Mishnah gave a number of examples. Let's just quickly run through the Mishnah and go through all the examples that the Mishnah gave us. That's the third line down. Kibal hakasha v'nasan lepasol. Yachsil hakasha. Case number one. So you had a Kohen, a qualified Kohen, accept the blood, and he handed it to a non-qualified person. Hand it back to the Kohen. Case number two. Kibul b'yamino v'nasal l'smalo, yachter l'yamino. He went from his right hand to his left hand. Now, you know you can't accept the blood in your left hand. That's puzzle. But you accept it in the right hand and you transfer it to the left hand. So the Mishnah says put it back in the right hand. Case number three. Kibo b'kli kosh v'nasan kli chol, yachter l'kli kodesh. You transfer the blood from a kli kodesh to a kli chol. Mishnah says also, not a big deal, just put it back in the kli kodesh. Case number four. Nishbach min kli ala ritzba v'aspo kasha nasno agabe akeves. Shelo kenegede yisod. I think I could stop here. Right? Okay. Get the basic points. Okay? Those are a lot of cases that basically speak to the same idea. Meaning that as long as the blood was collected good, and then it was passed over to something not good, not the end of the world, just give it back. Okay. So the Gemara says, Tzricha, that's a lot of cases. And the Gemara says it's necessary. Meaning, one of the main assumptions that the Gemara makes is that the Mishnah wouldn't be wasting our time repeating information. And there is a chiddush in all these cases in the Mishnah, and the Gemara is going to go through it. Diash mina pasul hava mina my pasul tame. Look, when the Mishnah says I gave it to a pasul, could be that I gave it to someone who's tamei. And we'll have to try to figure out, which we won't do right now, how he didn't transfer his tumah from him to the blood. Okay, maybe it's he's a lower level of tumah, whatever the case is. Dechazi lavod a sibor. Because look, you can make the argument. I know he's disqualified right now, but there are cases where a tamei person is eligible. For example, when Rov HaTzibur is tamei. So he's eligible from time to time. Av a small lo. But your left hand is never eligible. So I might have thought that transferring the blood from your right hand to your left hand passes. Because your left hand is never eligible. V'yashmin and small di'islay hechsher b'yama kippurim. The Gemara says, you know, your left hand, even though I just said it's never eligible, it's not true. Sorry. It's sometimes eligible. Meaning that there is one occasion where your left hand is going to come into play, and that's going to be on Yom Kippur. The Kohen Gadol walks into... Huh?
Never for blood.
Never for... Right. Right. Fair point. Fine. The Kohen Gadol walks into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Yeah, you're right. Well, he walks into the Kodesh HaKadoshim holding both the spoonful of Ketores and a pan of a shovel of coal. And he's going to walk in there, and he's going to lay the shovel down with one hand, and with the other hand, he's going to transfer the Ketores, the incense, from the spoon into his hand. Okay? One of the hardest tricks of the Kohen Gadol's life. Right, that transfer. Okay, because you don't put the spoon down. All right, anyway.
You don't put it in your mouth and hold it for a second either.
Right, whatever. It's a neat trick. The Gemara in Yuma describes it. Anyway, so on that one occasion, there is a requirement to use your left hand. Okay. So, Dias Le'echshar B'Yom HaKippurim. Aval. Okay, Aval Klichol, lo. When are we ever going to use a Klichol? Never. Meaning, the whole point is that it's not a Kli Kodesh. You wouldn't use it. So, V'iyash min a Kli Chol Mishum Dechazel Kedushanu. Now, look, by Kli Chol, look, you're right. It's never eligible. Never. And here we could say never. But it has potential. Meaning, all you could do is just simply be Makdash it. You can consecrate it. And it can become a Kli Sharis, Avahanach. But you can't consecrate your left hand. your left hand is never going to be your right hand. So, Eimalot Tzricha. Okay, so the Gemara points to every one of the cases of the Mishnah and explains and explores why every case of the Mishnah has an element of Chiddush.
Why would you have a Hamid in it? Because sometimes the left hand, because you could be a Makadosh, because, you know, the
Tamei, right.
I wouldn't
have thought of this. Okay, I hear. Yeah. No. They can eat the carbon, you know.
But somebody could
retrain, in theory, yeah. Mm-hmm. It used to be in the good old days. All the left-handed people were forced to be right-handed. Right? They did that, right? Here we go. Big discussion coming up now. And the Gemara says, what do we say about dichui? Right? Meaning... Think about it, and we'll think a little bit more than just a second about it. What happened is that for a moment in time it was rejected, and we talk about this often. This is a big discussion throughout Shas, which is it gets into a situation in its lifetime where it becomes rejected. So this is a fundamental question that comes up again and again. Right, whether or not there's dichui, and the Gemara over here says, "Look, what just happened over here? You transfer it over into a kli chol. So for that moment in time, now it's rejected, and it goes back from the kli chol back into the kli kodesh. So why aren't you entertaining the what happened to the discussion of dichui? Now, before we answer the question, just let's take a quick look at Tosfos. Tosfos says we are not talking about the case in the Mishnah where I handed over to somebody who's pasul. We're not talking about that case. Tosfos writes, Tema, im nasan lepasul ma bekach. Right, you're standing next to somebody who's not qualified. You hand them the cup of blood. That's not even in the Gemara's radar of discussion. Right, masa itztabahi. That is called, what Tosfos calls a great terminology. It's masa itztabah. He's a pillar. He's a statue. statue. You just handed it to him. That's not dichui. That's not even in our discussion of dichui. He didn't do anything. You just said, here, hold this. That's nothing. So mi gara mi nasan ala eben shari lo parichacha amas this and damar perikotzi olo diktani yatsav iniach al akhan hazahav shebehecha. Right? The Gemara elsewhere talks about putting it on a stone. The Gemara never entertains the question of dichui. It's there's no question to entertain. So Tosa says, look, the only way I'm going to explain the Gemara is that even though we're going to have a discussion of Dichui, and it's going to be a good one, but it's not going on the case of Nasan Lapasol. The question is not going on that case, because the Ein Zeh Ela Maisa Itztaba Ba'alma. Tosa reiterates, it's nothing but Maisa Itztaba. He's just a statue. That's not Dichui. Ela parich ah nasan likli kol vanishbach minakli ala ritzpa. The Gemara's question is going on the other cases of the Mishnah, transferring it to a kli kol. There's a discussion of dichui, or transferring it. Or, I'm sorry, spilling onto the floor. That's a question of dichui. Where in those situations it really is rejected temporarily, and then we'll just pick it up and move it. Now listen to the Gemara's answer, because the Gemara really is going to give us a fundamental rule in Dichui. Before that, sorry, not yet. Okay? So, v'lehavale Dichui. So, there are going to be two answers to this question. Answer number one is a very technical answer. Answer number two is a fundamental answer. Okay? So let's go through the technical answer first. Amalei Ravin l'Rav Ashi hachi amar Rav Yirmi ami difti mishmei d'Rav ha-mani chanana mitzrihi d'leith le Dichuyin. So the first answer, which I put in the category of technical, is that our Mishnah follows the opinion of Hanan HaMitzri. And Hanan HaMitzri, right, the Egyptian, he comes from Egypt, right, so does the Rambam, so a lot of people. So so Hanan HaMitzri says there's no dichui. Now, does he hold there's never dichui? I don't know. I don't know well enough to know whether he ever holds of dichui, but generally, we're going to say it like this. He has no other dichui. Okay? How do I know that? The Tanya, because we have the following braisa. Chanana mitzri omer, afilu dam bekos mevi chavero umezaveg lo. We go to this Yom Kippur model. We go to it often when we have our dichui discussion. You know, in Yom Kippur, you need two seirim. You need two goats. They need to match each other. And then you have a lottery. One is designated la Hashem, which means that it becomes now the blood that goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and the other is Lazazel, and thrown off the cliff. Okay, and if everything's going good, so in other words, so I designate my two goats, I shecht one goat, bring the blood into the interior, into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the other one goes off. Fine. What if I lose one of the animals? After designating, I lose one of the animals. So Rashi points out, there are multiple opinions on what the next process is, what's the next procedure. So the most severe, the most extreme position is that I got to get two new goats. Meaning, once one lost its pair, that's it. Even while they're alive, that's it. I got to get now two new goats, and I have to redo the lottery all over again. That's the most extreme position. There's a middle position which says, no. That's only true after I shech the animals. And then I lose one of the bloods. And there's no more blood to get from the... right? And I lose the blood. Then I got to get two new goats. And then there's Hanan HaMitzri, who is the most lenient position. And he says that... Afilu dam bekos, even if the blood's already in the cup, and I lost the other goat, okay, just bring one more goat. Meaning Hanan HaMitzri basically says there's never dichui, even when the blood is in the cup. That's the opinion of Hanan HaMitzri. And so the first answer of our Gemara, which is a very technical one, is that our Mishnah is following the opinion of Hanan HaMitzri, which would mean then that generally speaking, there would be dichui, but our Mishnah is holding like Hanan HaMitzri. That's answer number one, not fundamental.
It's not a regular dichui case. Gemara. What about the two, the seal?
Yes.
It's that if they have to be a matched pair, it's not a question of dichui. Now it's not part of the pair. They have to start. I hear the opinion that they have to start again.
Okay, the Gemara assumes that this is really in the context of dichui. I mean, In Yuma, when the Gemara has the same discussion, the same thing. Gemara assumes that this is a dichui discussion.
I hear you can say no over here. You have to start again with two seerim. Right. Here,
okay.
But in a cold.
Fine. I hear that. But
that action was.
What? It's okay.
That action was already done. Was chosen by Rabbi and stuff like that. So I don't.
Okay. Ravashi, the Gemara here is going to give us the fundamental answer. Ravashi Amar, Kol Shabiyado Lo Havidichui. Okay? Ravashi says, no. Let's not pigeonhole our Mishnah into Chanana Mitzri. No. Let's assume our Mishnah is normative, right, approach, that there is Dichui, there's this concept of rejection, and normally Dichui would mean that we'd have to start all over again. Good. Our Mishnah, however, says, like, our Mishnah and the fundamental change in thought is kol shebiyado lo havidichui. Rejection means it's out of your hands. It's out of your hands. But once it's still in your hands, once you still have control, that's simply not dichui. We're gonna look at Tosfos, but let's first get through a little bit of Gemara just to reinforce the answer of Ravashi, and then we're gonna take a look at Tosfos. Amarav Shia. Yeah, I guess. Amar Rav Shia Kavasa de Ravashi Mistabra. Look, it makes sense. Ravashi's answer makes sense, and I'll explain why. Mancham Ladis Lady Khoyim Rabbi Yehuda. Look, we know that Rabbi Yehuda subscribes to the concept of Dichui in general. The non vote Amar Rabbi Yehuda Nishbach Adam, Yamasa Mishtaleach, Mesa Mishtaleach, Yishafech Adam. Vishamina Ledamar. I'm sorry. So the first thing we're going to look at is the Mishnah Yuma. Rabbi Yehuda says that if the blood spills, so the you have to kill the Mishtaleach. Mesa Mishtaleach, Yishafech Adam. Meaning the two need each other. The goat that's going Lazazel and the blood from the seer Lashem need one another. And once you lose one, you got to get rid of the other one. So he holds of the whole concept of dichui. Vishamina Ledamar Kol Shebiyado Lo Havidichui. And I can also show you that he subscribes to this Ravashi principle, that as long as you still have control, that's not dichui. The Tanya Rabbi Yehuda Amar Kosei Chadayim Amalei Midamata Arovas Vizarko Zrika Achas Keneged HaYisod. This is a Mishnah Pesachim. Great Mishnah. This Mishnah, or is it a Braisa? It's right. None of the above. It's the Tosefta. Fine. Okay, but the point is as follows. Rabbi Yehuda is recorded as saying like this. On Yom Kippur. Sorry, wrong Yontif. On Pesach, you have a lot of blood all over the place, right? In fact, we're going to learn in just a moment, they were up to their ankles in blood, right? This is how they walked through the Azara. And Rabbi Yehuda says like this, the end of the afternoon, right before sunset, what you're going to do is you're going to pick up a big cup of blood from the floor and do one last sprinkle on the Mizbeach. Rav Yehuda says, you know what? Can't hurt. And not only can it not hurt, it can only help. Because maybe, right, millions of people, you love this part, millions of people and millions of Karban Pesachs are being shechted. And maybe what happened is that at one point along the way, one of the cups of blood spilled on the floor and didn't make it to the Mizbeach. And the owner of that Karban Pesach really is not entitled to eat his Karban Pesach, because without a Zrika, it's not a Karban. So, Rav Yehuda says, so at the end of the afternoon, right, when everyone's home, so one cup will be, you know, just, I don't know where you collect it from. I mean, the Azara is a big place. But, right, get a cup full of blood and sprinkle it on the Mizbeach, and it can't hurt. And it can only help, right? This is the opinion of Rav Yehuda. So, again, why don't we make the argument? It's spilled on the floor. It's dichui. It's rejected. There's nothing you could do. So, obviously, Rav Yehuda subscribes to this principle of kol shebiyado. It's not dichui. Because, since it's spilled on the floor, and you have every opportunity to pick it up and to put it back again, so it's not dichui. Good. So, the Gemara is going to ask that question, and the Gemara is going to answer. That's the right question.
I'm sure there's non-dam ha-nefesh there.
Correct. Good questions. Gemara is going to basically ask your question.
It's also congealed.
The Gemara is not going to ask that question, but yes, if it's congealed, so then that's going to be a problem. That would be a problem. And Gemara is going to ask another question about the Kohanim's clothing getting dirt. Fine. Okay. All good questions. But this is it. In other words, the Gemara is basically saying Rav Ashi's answer is supported by Rav Yehuda. I look at two statements of Rav Yehuda. A statement of Rav Yehuda regarding Yuma, another statement of Rav Yehuda regarding Pesach, and it comes out, yeah, that when it's biyado, we don't say dichui, period. So now, look at the bottom Tosfos on the page. So now that we're here, so now you're going to have to revisit every time we talk about dichui in the Gemara, and there's a bunch of them, and you're going to have to go over, and you have to say to yourself, is that biyado? Is that not biyado? And now that we have our rule of Rav Ashi / Rav Yehuda, that when it's kol shebiyado, there's no dichui, so now you're going to have to rethink every single Gemara of dichui. It's a short Tosfos, I know.
And you're at the end of Ch'as too.
Right, and we're in Zvachim already. And good, so this is, you know, part of the learning process is learning something and now revisiting that which we already saw. So, like, look at the Bam Tosfos. So, let's go to the third parak of Sukkah. Right? Where, enough of Merubav Me'alav. Right? Your Hadas, where you have berries growing on your Hadas. Ein Zeh Biyado. Now, the Gemara over there says that there are more berries than there are leaves, so then it's disqualified. It's nidcha. And you can't pluck it off. So and the Gemara over there says it's dichui. In other words, I know it's not a karban, but that is a mitzvah. And just much like there's a concept of dichui by karban, there's also a concept of dichui by mitzvah as well. Ein ze biyado, kevin de ein mim'atim biyamtov. Interesting. Tosfos says that's not biyado because you're not allowed to pluck it off on Yontif. So therefore it's not biyado. It's mitakin. Right? It's mitakin. So I guess you have to revisit this discussion, meaning that's only an Issa de Rabbanan. And the Issa de Rabbanan makes it ain biyado. Okay? Skip the Kisurei Adam one. Look at the next one, which we saw not that long ago. The mitzvah also. The hifrish karban vehemir das. Right, here's another example where we talked about dichui not that long ago. Remember the guy set aside a karban, and then he left the reservation. He religiously left town. He finished. He's hemir das. What do we say? His animal's rejected. Okay? Wait a second. We have a rule of Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi says is that when it's kol shebiyado, so that's not dichui. So
Tosfos. How is it biyado if he left? He could always come back.
So that's what Tosfos is going to say. To ain ze kari biyado, kaven de ain da to lachzor. It's, you know, right. It requires thought. It definitely requires thought. Tosfos is going to argue what you're arguing. That's not biyado. Once you leave the reservation, so right now you're not interested in coming back. Even though, at the same time, I'm also going to say he has free choice. He certainly has every opportunity to come back.
But he's lost his bond with that korban. Like once he left.
Good, but we are. You're right. But what we're trying to analyze right now, what Tosfos is doing, is he's saying you're going to have to argue every time the Gemara says dichui without blinking. You're going to have to argue why isn't it biyado?
Right, because of the fact that he lost his connection, then it's ain't biyado because he doesn't have a connection anymore.
It's certainly biyado to come back to the fold.
But that's a separate category.
I'm just being difficult. I'm not.
I know, but that's a separate category.
Right.
He became a guy and he died.
No. He didn't become a guy. He just left the religion. He left
and he died.
And no, but he didn't die. In other words, no, and he comes back. And he comes back to Yadus. And we know the halacha is that carbon's rejected, right? Because of dichui. And what Tosfos is trying to figure out was, why don't we argue like Rav Ashi? It's biyado. And so basically Tosfos is saying what Ben is saying. This is not called biyado kevin de ein da to lachzor, because at the time when he leaves, he's not considering coming back. Even though he could. Okay, it's interesting. It's a little tricky.
It's harder to come back than
it is hard to come back for sure. But all right, anyway, let's go back. All right, so we have now our rule of Rav Ashi, the right, really fundamental rule that dichui is only when it's in biyado. But if it's biyado, it's not dichui. And we quoted this interesting scenario by a sheet of Rabbi Yehuda that at the end of the afternoon of Pesach, just do one more sprinkling with the blood on the floor. The Gemara asks a whole bunch of questions. Gufa. Tanya Rav Yehuda Omer Koseh Charayim Amalim Midam Ataravis. Oh my gosh. She'im Yishafei Chechem Ayin Mintzah Shu Machshira. Amal Rav Yehuda V'ala Lo Nitzkabel B'Kli Mana. I'm sorry. V'ala Lo Nitzkabel B'Kli. So they say to Rav Yehuda, what are you doing? That's blood on the floor. It wasn't Nitzkabel B'Kli. So the Gemara says, Mena Yadei. How do you know? Meaning, there's a lot of action going on. How do you know it wasn't received in the cup? So Elishemel is Kabbal B'Kli. Okay, fine. I don't know. You're right. But I'll challenge you. How do you know what's collected in the cup? So Amar Lemsar of Yehuda says, I know what's collected in the cup. Af ani lo amarti Elish Kishin is Kabbal B'Kli. V'hu gufe mena yadei. The Gemara says to Rav Yehuda, how did you know? How do you know what's accepted in the cup? Kohanim is the reason. So the Gemara's answer is like this. Rabbi Yehuda says, look, we're talking about Kohanim. Kohanim are careful. It's one of the, right, we talk about personality traits of the Kohanim. So Kohanim are Zrizim. They have alacrity. They're very careful. They're very meticulous. And they collected the blood in a cup. And it's spilled on the floor. And how do I explain that? The Avadin Haya. And they work really quickly. And consequently, because they're going to work very quickly, so one of the cups may in fact get spilled on the floor. The Gemara continues to ask questions. Right? We already asked some of these questions. So you have a lot of blood on the floor. It's not all Dama Nefesh, it's Dam Tamsis. Right? Dam Tamsis is talking about not the lifeblood, but the blood after the animal's dead that continues to pour out of the neck of the animal. And that blood doesn't serve as a kapara. So the Gemara advances an argument, an interesting argument. Rav Yehuda Tam Damar Damatamsis Karidam, Detanya Damatamsis Bazar Rav Yehuda Amar Bekares. Now, when we talk about blood, you have to understand that we're talking about blood, we're learning Zvachim right now. We're interested in the blood that provides kapara, right? That's Dama Nefesh. When we get to Krisus, we're going to talk about blood vis-a-vis the Isser of eating blood, okay? Rav Yehuda is of the opinion, but before I get to Rav Yehuda, the Chachamim are of the opinion that if I eat Dam HaNefesh, I get Kares. If I eat Dam Tamsis, it's not Kares, it's only Alav. Negative prohibition, but not, it doesn't come with it, the Isser of Kares. Rav Yehuda disagrees regarding the Isser of eating blood. He says you're going to get Kares for both Dam Nefesh and Dam Tamsis. So what the Gemara now is entertaining is that you see that Rav Yehuda equates the two regarding Isser, it must be that they're both okay for regarding Kapara. The Gemara says that's a bad equation. It's a faulty equation. Right, the Gemara, just a little bit of girsa in terms of what the correct pasuk is. It's a faulty equation. Look, Rav Yehuda, for whatever reasons, when we get to Krisus, we'll see them. He believes that you're going to get Kares for both Dama Nefesh, Dama Tamsis. So for the Isser, they're the same. But for Kapara, it's only Dama Nefesh, not Dama Tamsis. So that's not it. Meaning, we really haven't answered the question. Whole bunch of blood on the floor, Dama Nefesh, Dama Tamsis, all mixed together. How is Rav Yehuda going to deal with that? So the Gemara says, look, this is Rav Yehuda we're talking about. Remember, Rav Yehuda says, min bamino, eino bato. There's never bito when it comes to like substances.
That's what Rashi holds also.
And it's great. Rashi maintains that that's the halacha. We don't maintain that way, but yes, that's Rav Yehuda's shita. Amar lehem Rav Yehuda. We go back to the Tosefta. And now, more dialogue between Rav Yehuda and the Chachamim. So, Rav Yehuda is of the opinion that at the end of the afternoon, scoop up blood from the floor and sprinkle on the Mizbech. Amalam Rav Yehuda, Devrei Chamlama Pokekim Ha'azara. Rav Yehuda says to the Chachamim, look, you know, we all agree that when they had the Beis HaMikdash, they would stop up the canal. So that actually, all the blood that was shefted from the Karban Pesach would actually pool up in the Azara. Beautiful. What an imagery. It's unbelievable. So you'd be sitting in a pool of blood from the Karban Pesach. So Rav Yehuda says, look, for me, there's a halachic explanation. Correct? Because for me, I'm going to now get a cupful of this blood and sprinkle on the Mizbeach just in case. Good. What, according to the Chachamim, who you don't agree with me, so you don't have a halachic explanation. So yeah, why do they stop up the Azara? Amar lo, shevachu levnei Aaron, sheyehalchu ad arkavoseihem bedam. I don't have a halachic explanation, but it's hider mitzvah. It beautifies the mitzvah. Because now it's a praise to Bnei Aaron that they get to walk in the pool of blood. Okay? Not exactly where we would go in terms of Heder Mitzvah, but this is a Beis HaMikdash, and Karban was one of the identifying marks of the Beis HaMikdash. So yeah, it was a Heder. V'hadam ha'vechatzitza. So the Gemara, of course, gets, you know, the Gemara is just fixated on the halachic aspects of all this, right? They're walking on blood. They can't walk on blood. You got to walk on the floor. That's one of the criteria of being a Kohen, that you have to walk barefoot on the floor. Lachu v'lo ha'vechatzitza. Moisture does not create a barrier. Didnan hadam v'yadio v'hadvash v'achala v'yveshim. Chotzin lachin ein chotzin. Mishnah Megvos tells us that water, or any liquid for that matter, never serves as a chatzitza. Veha ka mitvase ma'anaihu. Gemara doesn't stop. The Gemara says the clothing gets dirty, right? And that's not a cleanliness issue. I mean, it is, but that's a second parak of zvachim issue, which not that long ago we spent a lot of time talking about, which is that the clothing being dirty is going to be a psul in the kohen. Vitzanan. We learned that if your clothing is dirty and you do the avoda, it's pasul. And the Gemara says, and what? So they'll lift up their ketones. The hatanya mido kimida so shalo yachta v'shalo yosir. Remember, not that long ago, we talked about how every kohen has to wear form-fitting, tailored garments. So the Gemara wants to know now, how are they doing the avoda with the dirty clothing? So the Gemara says they're not doing real avoda. So the first attempt, the Gemara answers, is that where they are walking the Evarim to the ramp. Gemara says, that's an avoda. Why are you saying that's not an avoda? It is an avoda. Bringing wood to the top of the Mizbeach, fuel for the fire. Okay, now that we got all that cleared, meaning that we want them to walk in the blood, and the clothing is going to get dirty, and they're not doing a real avoda, what if they are doing a real avoda? Meaning, how do they make their way, navigate through the Azara, when they don't want their clothing to be dirty? And the Gemara gives an unbelievable answer. Right? I don't know where else the Gemara talks about this. The Gemara talks about there being like mini pillars. Not pillars, not the right word. Slabs. Slabs of blocks in the floor of the Mizbeach. And basically now what they could do is they could step from slab to slab, from block to block, so that on one hand the Azara is filled with blood. On the other hand, they can walk from one block to another block and not get their feet dirty. Rashi writes over here.
It doesn't make sense because it was supposed to be knee-high to be done.
That's when they're finished doing the avoda.
So why do they plug and then they walk on the
good side? Because they want. Sense. Well,
if it's for the sake of making the avoda harder to do and showing their love.
Right.
So why are we going to the stones?
Okay, and Rashi writes, let me finish this point. It's the bos gavos hayusham binyan avanim ve'enam chotzesim de min haritzbahein. Meaning it's part of the layout of the floor that there are going to be these blocks that protrude from the ground, and it's floor, meaning halachically it's floor, so it's not a chatzitza, and that's what they're going to be walking about when they are in this pool of blood.
And it's going to be above knee high.
We have a much more complex picture of that Pesach day, which, you know, in of itself we always get stuck on, we always get fixated on. But now we really have an interesting picture of stopping up the Azara, having the blood pool into the Azara. You know, and when they're not doing the Avoda, they wade in the blood. Right? And when they are doing the avoda and they don't want their clothing to get dirty, they're going to be walking on these blocks.
But then once clothes get dirty,
I got to tell you, this idea of the blocks is very strange, because without Pesach, people trip on it right and left. I mean, okay.
Right.
I'm with you. I'm just, you know, part of my job here is to present the Gemara, so I don't know, bottom line, the Gemara is telling us what's happening over here. I don't, these itztabas that the Gemara describes over here, I mean, I don't,
accepted view?
I don't know, I don't know where else the Gemara talks about it. I don't know. Why is it right, or right, why is it a Shevach specifically on Erev Pesach? Maybe because Dam on Erev Pesach. This right, Ms. Processus, help me. B'demayichai, right? Dam Mila, Dam Pesach. It could be that Dam. There's something special about Dam on Pesach, right? But that's already beyond my, you know.
What's about
that for Dichui? No. Rav Ashi's answer is accepted answer. That if it's biyado, it's not Dichui. Right, that the Gemara says is
so dichui is accepted unless it's biyado.
And unless it's biyado, okay. Let's go on. I don't want to fall further behind than we already are. Okay, so let's start the new Mishnah. Hashochet es hazevach lechol davishin darko lechol or lahakter davishin darko lahakter kasher. Okay, this position, which we've seen already a number of times, is that in order for it to be pigol, you have to think about something that you're entitled to eat. So, for example, if you think about eating the diaphragm of the karban, that's not pigol, because the diaphragm, the oseres hakaved, right? It's the what we call the diaphragm. That's part of the emurim. That's part of the pieces of the animal that go up on the mizbeach. You're not entitled to eat that. So, therefore, if you think about eating it, it's not pigol. Pigol has to go on a part of the animal that you're entitled to eat. Conversely, the opposite is true as well. Meaning, if you think I'm going to burn meat on the mizbeach, we're not talking about an ola, we're talking about a chaatas or a shlamim, that's not pigol because the mizbeach is not entitled to eat that piece. Okay. Rabbi Lazar says it's still pigol. It's going to be pigol because Rabbi Lazar is of the opinion that we can swap consumers, right? Rabbi Lazar posel. Lechol shadakol lechol lahakter davar shadakol lahakter pachos mikazayas. What if about you consider eating less than a kezias? Not pigol. Because, as we've said time and again, in order for it to be pigol, I have to consider eating a significant amount. Significant in the world of halacha is a kezias. Lechol kechasi zayas, lahakter kechasi zayas, kasher, shein achil v'aktar mitzdarfin. A point that we already made in the Mishnayos, which is that a half a kezias of human-consumed portion of the karban plus a half a kezias of karban portion of the mizbeach does not make a whole. Though that's not math. It doesn't add up because they're two different consumers. Hashochet es hazevach lechol kezias min ha'or. If you shecht a karban in order to eat a kezias of the hide, umin ha'rotev umin ha'kipa. Rotev and kipa. The best way to explain that. You make a pot roast, right? Right. You take the pot roast out of the pan. You see the pan right now. You see everything in the pan. That's rotev and kippa. Okay, I don't know how to translate that into English, but that's basically what we're talking about. Juice and
gravy.
Gravy is rotev, and kippa is basically all the little stuff inside. It's funny. In the world of halacha, in the world of Isser V'Heter, it's meat. Right? The gravy of meat is meat. In the world of karbanos and the world of pigol, it's not significant. I need to think about, in order for it to be pigol, I need to think about meat, not gravy, not juice, not the little sediment. It's got to be like real flesh. Min ha'alal, min ha'atzamos, min ha'gidim. Alal, a major debate about what alal is. Rashi over here says, gidab savar, sinews of the neck. Right, not everyone agrees to Rashi's explanation. Omina tzamos, bones, gidim, other sinews of the animal, mina karnayim, mina tlafim, the horns, the hooves, chutzas manu chutzim kamakasher. These are not meat. In order for it to be pigol, it's got to be meat. Vein chayav on lamishem pigol v'nosu v'tamei. And you're not going to be chayav on pigol nosu v'tamei. It's not meat. Hashochet es hamikdash l'achol shlil oshalya b'chutz lo pigol. If you consider eating the fetus or the afterbirth outside, low pickle, that's not pickle. Now, the Mishnah is a little bit confusing because the Mishnah talks about chufsim komo and throws around the word pickle. Okay, that's not as precise as we would like it. We would like the Mishnah to have said chutz mano and then attach the word pigle. But the main that is worthwhile going over. But the main point of the Mishnah is that the fetus inside the animal and the afterbirth inside the animal is not considered part of the animal, and therefore that won't render the animal pigle. Hamolik is a term lechol beitzem b'chutz lo pigle. Same thing is true regarding eggs inside a bird. Right, you do malika, which is a form of shechita for a bird. Eggs inside the bird is not considered part of the bird. Chalav hamukdashim uveitzei Torah, milk and eggs, ein chayav alam mishum pigle v'noser v'tameh. You're not going to be chayav on pigle, noser, and tameh. They're not considered part of the animals. Good. Okay, so in our Mishnah, essentially what we're saying is that in order for it to be pigle, it has to be something that I can eat, some part of the carbon that I'm entitled to eat. It has to be a shear of a kezias, and it has to be meat of the animal. Not any of the gravy, sauce, sinews, non-meat parts of the animal that won't register as pigle. It has to be a substantial meat of the animal. Okay, we'll stop over here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up from the Gemara.